Well, good morning. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord, whether you're in the house of the Lord in the physical building at Bethel or in the house of the Lord on the online service. It's a joy to be able to come with you each week and to be able to share a similar message as what we share at the 11 o'clock hour. Same scripture, different little take on the scripture. So I'm hoping and praying, even though we put it on there as the youth message. We all know that we're young at heart, and it's for all of us. So what a joy it is to do it, right? And we need to encourage one another. So today I'm going to start with the scripture text, and the subtitle is Jesus Appears to the Disciples. And it's found in Luke chapter 24. Now Luke 24 is also about the road to Emmaus when the two disciples were walking with Jesus after the resurrection, and they didn't recognize him until they broke bread and then their eyes were open. So we pick up the story at Luke 24, starting at verse 35. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus appeared to them as they walked along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself, suddenly standing there among them, said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Red Letter Edition, Jesus said, "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "And why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands and look at my feet, and you can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." And as he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. Still they stood there doubting, filled with joy and wonder, that he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" He gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. And then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything written about me by Moses and the prophets, and the Psalms most of all come true." Then he opened their minds to understand these many scriptures. And he said to them, "It was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With all my authority, take this message of repentance to the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are my witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And then in verse 50, this is the ascension. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting up his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. They worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple, praising God. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy scriptures in the New Living Translation. I entitled my message this today is Written in Stone. And if you look back on verse 44, Jesus said this, "When I was with you, I told you everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and the Psalms most of all come true." Well, it's interesting to know that if you go back, Jesus talking about Moses, and remember the Ten Commandments that was given to Moses that was written on stone tablets. Well, we often think of writing in stone as being from an ancient form of writing, and it is. It's the first evidence of writing going back to Mesopotamia, when people etched these shapes and different things into clay tablets. History of writing tells us that eventually the Egyptians created papyrus, which is made from plant fiber. And then after that, scribes even wanted to do writings on more durable stuff, or parchment or animal skin. But since the day about 100 AD after Christ in China, however, we have preferred what is now known as paper, and it is made from wood. The phrase written in stone comes from Exodus, when Moses received the stone tablets with the laws of God etched into them. If something is written in stone, it has to come to mean that it carries sacred authority and that those words are set in stone. That means they were fixed for all time. And certainly, we monumentalize our cherished building sometimes with what they call a cornerstone. And you look down and there's a cornerstone and the dates that it was built and all kinds of information are etched into those stones. And even here at the Bethel Cemetery, if you walk around, you'll see headstones and all kinds of stones that have writing set in stone. And our museums and even the walls of giving display of etchings of donors and dates and so forth, written in stone or wrote in metal and attached to something to let that statement just say, this is written for eternity. But our scripture today, we see another post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, which he emphasized that he, in many of his post-resurrection appearances and after his resurrection, fulfilling important scriptures. And it said in Luke 24, we read that they opened his mind. They mean Jesus opened their mind to understand the scriptures. And then he knows, predicted, that the Messiah will come and suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That was also recorded. So we have a lot of things that a lot of these situations and Jesus' prophecies and everything was not only written in stone, but it was written so that we may have a memorial, so to speak, for the scriptures, because the scriptures are old. It's a wonderful thing to reflect in these scriptures. I think, as most of you know, I enjoy history. I love history. And that's one of the things in the Bible, that the Bible is not only filled with God's Word, but there's a lot of things in there that's been recorded for history purposes. And I'd just like to go back 100 years with me. We'll take this little time travel back to 100 years ago. Few people thought it was possible that a man could fly. No one except the two sons of Reverend Milton Wright, who at present, and his two sons, on 10 o'clock in the morning on December the 17th, made their first flight, their first successful flight in an airplane, driven by four-cylinder combustion engines. Now, today, we don't fly more sophisticated crafts as we've done. We've even got crafts now that went around the moons of Jupiter. So it's really hard to believe that 100 years ago, flight just sort of took its first successful missions. And now, as I said, around the moons of Jupiter, we send satellites. We've had men go to the moon and come back, and supersonic jets and all of that. It's just hard to believe that 100 years ago today, but the evidence of that first flight is around us all the way around. You can hear planes going up overhead and all kinds of things. But it was interesting also about something, not only in Scripture, but the history of the church, more so the history of the United Methodist Church. And I just wanted to share with you, 300 years ago, on June the 17th, 1703, a young boy named John was born to Reverend Samuel and Susanna Wesley in Epworth, England. Now, it was perhaps no surprise that John grew up to become a priest himself, being raised in a priestly family. But what a surprise is that the kind of ministry that he implemented. He formed small religious studies, small groups as we call them today, and he put special emphasis on the methodical study and devotion that they had to offer. And they met twice a week, and they fasted. And as they grew, they added other things into the group that they called the Methodist Societies, like social services and visiting prisoners and the care for the poor. They even ran a school. But the people of that day, the onlookers, called them Methodists. And it wasn't a very polite term in them days. Really, what they were doing, they were just mocking them. So when John left the group, it sort of just fell apart. But the name stuck as the evidence of the early movement that is all around us today. Almost every town in the country is a United Methodist Church. These are events in life that simply amazes us, especially me, and it fills us with joy and makes us wonder whether things are still possible today. It's hard to believe, standing on the side of history, some of the things that were accomplished. They are impossible stories that positively happened. Now, these things are what we call recorded history. People that experienced different things and have it passed on to generations. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all the little children." And that's what we do when we do with the youth group. Because he also went on to say that anybody that hurts these little children, that's all of us, it would be like a millstone putting around their neck. So we do youth ministry, we do young adult ministry, we do kids ministry and all that, with that in mind. Because sometimes we need to encourage our children. And that's why it's so important to come to church and meet with family and friends at church. And we just need to surround these young people with love. Now, the ministry of the youth ministry sort of got a bleep time where we're not able to do that. But now it's coming back again. And we need to surround these young people with love. And more importantly, we need to encourage them. Because on the walls of each home should be these words that was written by Dorothy Law Nolte. And it's a little sign. You see people put plaques in the house and different things about things. And this particular note that she wrote should be in the plaque of every home. Children learn what they live. And then constantly, before our daily activity, we need to help a child. If a child lives with criticism, they need to learn to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, they need to learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If a child lives with shame, they need to learn to feel guilty. If a child lives with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If a child lives with pity, they will learn to feel sorry for themselves. If a child lives with jealousy, he learns to feel guilty. You know, this little word, but, I like the word, but. It's in the scriptures, too. But. So let it be the but. If a child lives with encouragement, they learn confidence. If a child lives with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If a child lives with praise, they learn to be appreciated. If a child learns with security, he learns to have faith. If the child lives with acceptance, they learn to love. If a child lives with friendship, they learn joy. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with recognition, they learn to have goals. If a child lives with fairness, they learn justice. If a child lives with honesty, they learn truth. And if a child lives with sincerity, he learns to have faith in himself and those around him. And if a child lives with love, they learn that the world is a wonderful place. Well, a little long today, but I hope that you maybe get something out of this little meditation. And as Jesus said in the scriptures, that his ministry was written in stone for eternity. Call upon his name, and you will have a blessed place in heaven. In Jesus' name. Hope and pray you're having a good day.